Well, turn over to Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 and revisit a very familiar story as we continue on in our sermon series, Encounters with Jesus. So this is part 3, and this will take us up into Easter, and then, obviously we'll have a great celebration Easter morning. So today, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And let me just say, I really love hearing the enthusiasm when we worship. Amen. You know, sometimes I think we're hesitant to be enthusiastic. And listen, I understand worship is not just an emotion. It can turn into an emotional thing. But, you know, sometimes you just have something welling up in you and you just need to let it out. And when we go to a Cardinals game or a Blues game and somebody hits a home run or scores a goal, what are we going to do? We're going to clap and cheer. We're going to hoot and holler. We're going to whistle and say, yeah, you know, it's okay to do that in church sometimes. And so let me just say, you know, if you feel led of the Lord, just let it out. You know, that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. So we might as well just get practice now. Amen. All right, so Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Let me just start by saying something that you already know and very well aware of. We live in a broken world. And sometimes in our lives, in this world, broken things, when we have broken things, we get rid of them, right? If something's broken in our house, if we're going through our garage, or I'm going to be having to go through my basement pretty soon because of all this stuff down there. Some of the stuff is probably broken and old. It's going to need to be thrown out. And so we throw these broken things out, and anything we no longer need, we throw away. Damaged goods are rejected, and that includes sometimes even, unfortunately, people. In marriages, when relationships break down, the tendency, more times than not now, in the culture in which we live, the tendency is to walk away. I'm going to find somebody new rather than work at reconciliation. And we understand that our world is full of people with broken hearts and broken spirits and broken relationships. And as we've often talked about in the three circles, we see the brokenness all around us. And for many people, broken things are despised and worthless. But God can take what has been broken and He can remake it into something better, something that He can use for His glory and honor. Broken things, and specifically broken people, are the result of sin. Yet God, we understand, sent His Son, who was without sin, to be broken so that we might be healed. And such is the story, the familiar story of Zacchaeus. He was a broken man. He was living part of a broken system, and his encounter with Jesus radically changed his life forever. And as a result, Zacchaeus was made into someone better, someone that God could use for his glory and honor. So let's take a look at this familiar story and see what God wants us to learn. Let's start by reading Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Says he entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see Jesus, but was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house. So quickly he came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, he's gone to lodge with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Verse 9, today salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So the first thing I want to talk about this morning as we're in our outline here. Number one, let's talk about three obvious things about Zacchaeus. Three obvious things that jump out at us, things we already know because we know this story well, but let's be reminded of it, okay? First of all, he was a chief tax collector, okay? This means, basically, he was some sort of in some sort of supervisory role over other collectors. And as we know, tax collectors were not liked among the Jewish people, okay? The Jews absolutely hated tax collectors for several reasons. First of all, because, listen, nobody likes to pay taxes, right? We don't like to pay taxes to the government, especially when the government is an oppressive regime like the Roman Empire of the first century. So they didn't like to pay their taxes, number one. Number two, the tax collectors were Jews, okay, who worked for the hated Romans. And so these individuals were seen as traitors, you know, to their fellow countrymen. And also, everyone knew that the tax collectors cheated the people they collected from by collecting more than was required and then keeping the extra for themselves. So, as you know, in spite of this, in spite of the public hatred of tax collectors, I think it's significant, especially if you look through the book of Luke, to know that every time they're mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, tax collectors are always portrayed in a favorable light, okay? I just think that's interesting. In fact, who did Jesus pick to be one of his disciples? Matthew, right? Levi, the tax collector, okay, is one of his 12 disciples. And so, guys, this shows us the heart of Jesus for sinners, but that's just kind of a side note. But listen, the thing about it is, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And let me just say this, and I've been guilty of this in my life. When you look at the life of Zacchaeus, and you look at ordinary people that you work with and go to school with, people who knew Zacchaeus only knew him because of his profession, not by who he really was. And you and I in life, we know a lot of people. We know people at work. We know people at school because they're our coworkers. We go to school with them. We hang out with them. We sometimes even spend more people with people at work than we do in our own families. But as we work alongside people and we know people and go to school with people, do we really know them? Do we really know their backstory? Listen, I'm sure Zacchaeus had a family. He had a mom and a dad. He perhaps had siblings. I don't know his situation, if he was married or not. I don't know. The Bible doesn't specifically say. But Zacchaeus obviously had a family. Even though he was wealthy, I'm sure Zacchaeus still had problems. He still had stresses in life. He had issues that he dealt with. And let me just say, as we read this story, and sometimes we don't think about this, Jesus saw the man. Others just saw the position. He saw Zacchaeus for who he was, somebody that was broken. The other people just saw Zacchaeus because of his profession. He's a tax collector, and I don't like that guy. But Jesus saw him for who he was. And so as we think about him being a tax collector, yeah, he was that, but he had other things in life. And so that tells us that we need to take time to really get to know people. Because who knows, it might open the door for us to have a conversation about the gospel. I've often said, I used to tell our youth group when I was a youth pastor, and I've told some of the kids around here, when I was in school, I didn't always do this, but I tried to make it a point. Now, I know it's different now and with lunch, and I don't know how things work now with lunch, but when I was in high school especially, you could pretty much go sit anywhere you wanted to with anybody that you wanted to during the lunch hour. And I would specifically go and sit with people that were not as popular, if you will. I'll just say that. People that normally didn't have anybody to sit with. Number one, because I felt like these guys were always easy to talk to. And number two, it gave me an opportunity to tell them about our church and what was going on, or point them to Jesus. I didn't always do this, but you know, God opened the door for me in many instances to tell people about Jesus simply by going and saying, you know what, I'm going to sit by this guy over here who always sits by himself. And yeah, he's kind of odd, and he looks weird, and he smells weird and all that. His hair looks kind of funky, but you know what? I'm going to go sit by this guy because he probably doesn't have any friends. And so it opened up the door for me to tell people about Jesus. And when we take the time to really get to know people, it opens the door. Another obvious thing about Zacchaeus, He was short, right? I mean, the Bible says that. As children, we emphasize that very fact in the song that we sing. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know, I often thought, who talks like that? You know, people from Ireland? I don't know. But Zacchaeus was a wee little man, all right? And we laugh at that, but you know, again, thinking about individuals, we laugh at this, but our culture in general, we often assign value to people based on what? Their physical appearance, right? Right? We make judgments about all kinds of different things. People, whether they're short or tall, black or white, bald, what their eye color is, what their hair color is, whether they're old or young, or what kind of clothes they wear. We form opinions about people based on external things. And guys, if we're to be honest, we all are guilty of that. Okay? And so we tend to focus on Zacchaeus's short stature, but again, Jesus focused on the person. I've shared this story with you before, and I'm going to share it again. If you heard it, I apologize, but it really fits here. A lot of you know that Leslie and I went to Southwest Baptist University down in Bolivar. And so, you know, we graduated over 30 years ago, so that's been a long time ago. And before, there's a couple of new buildings there. I say new, but they're about 30 years old now. Where the library is now, that's not where the library was when I was in school. And where the library is now, there used to be just an open field there. And so when they were getting ready to build a new library and some classrooms around that, guess who it was that made a very large donation to get the ball rolling when it came to building that building? It was Sam Walton. You know who Sam Walton is? He invented Walmart. He founded Walmart. Okay, here's the guy. So this guy's, you know, we have big chapel service, and they invite Sam Walton in to be the guest of honor because he's donating millions of dollars, you know, to help get the ball rolling on this new building. And so in chapel, all the students are gathered together and all the college dignitaries are up on the stage. And listen, they're dressing in their suits, and that's kind of what they're supposed to wear because they're in these professional jobs. So they're up there, they're all polished, they all look great, they all look the part. And then you have Sam Walton sitting right in the middle of them. And if you know anything about Sam Walton, Sam Walton was just a regular guy. So he's sitting up there in an old pair of faded blue jeans that were kind of like bell bottoms, you know, and that was not, I know bell bottoms are kind of coming back in style right now. Man, I don't understand that. But, you know, he was kind of wearing these old faded bell bottom looking jeans. He had on a white dress shirt with this really wide collar and this looked like a clip-on tie and a Walmart hat. And he's sitting up there, and you think, who is this goofball up here? And I'm thinking, he's one of the richest men in the world, and he's sitting here in my college, and he's sitting among these people who look like they're rich, but probably aren't, and he's the richest one of all. Don't judge somebody by what they look like, you know? But we tend to do stuff like that. We judge people by outward appearance. The other thing that we see here about Zacchaeus is that he wanted to see Jesus. It's very evident. You know, most of the time in the Bible, people who encountered Jesus had some kind of problem. On the outside, it appears that Zacchaeus didn't have any problems like that. He's successful. He's wealthy. He doesn't seem to have any observable need. So what motivated Zacchaeus to climb up that tree besides being short? He was curious. He wanted to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus, and he heard he was coming and through his area, and so he was wanting to see him. And as I think about Zacchaeus, he's kind of an example of people that we know and meet every day. Whether we realize it or not, we meet people just like Zacchaeus. He was a sinner. He needed change in his life. And as we've discussed, people are living in brokenness, and some of them may be beginning to realize, listen, there's something that I need in life. I need a change. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of things being like this all the time. And so they're hoping for a change. They're looking for a change. And they're beginning to realize that something is missing in their lives. And so I believe Zacchaeus was curious, yes, but perhaps he longed for a change in his life. I mean, for whatever reason, he got up in that tree to see Jesus. You know, he lacked the power in and of himself to change. He needed a life changer. And guess what? Jesus is a life changer. Amen? All of us here can give testimony to that, how Jesus has radically changed our lives. When we put our hope in him, he changes us. Despite the fact that Zacchaeus was a cheater, Jesus loved him. And Zacchaeus needed Jesus, and so does a lost and dying world in which we encounter every day of our lives. And so he wanted to see Jesus. So that's just three obvious things about Zacchaeus. Look at number two. And the number two thing that I want us to understand, verses 5 through 8, Jesus saw an opportunity to share good news. Jesus saw an opportunity to share good news. Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and most importantly, he saw an opportunity to share a life-changing message with him. When Jesus said, "Hey, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost," he was referring to the fact that he had come from heaven to become a man to offer himself in the place of sinners. He took the penalty of sin upon himself so that we can be saved from the penalty that we deserve. And God wouldn't have taken such an extreme measure if lost people were capable of saving themselves. That's why we need Jesus. People are lost. At one time we were lost. And we were sought and we were found. And Christ came to seek and save the lost. And so should we. And guys, we need to understand, if we truly want to love people like Jesus, then we have to seek out those who are lost. We can't hide behind walls that we put up, walls in the church or wherever, and hope someday that things are going to get better as we huddle together and pray. Those are not bad things. We need to gather together and we need to pray. But as we pray and we're done here at church on Sunday or Wednesday, then we're sent out into the world to be proclaiming the gospel of reconciliation. Be reconciled unto God. So it's not enough just to sit here and pray. We've got to actively be involved in ministry and sharing the gospel. And so our culture is broken and lost. And the only way it's going to change is for the heart of man to change. I'm the worst in my life of talking about our culture and how bad things are, and it is. I need to do just as equal a job as telling the culture about Christ as I do about griping about it. Because the only thing that's going to change our culture is Jesus. A government program or spending more money in certain ways might put a band-aid on it. But the ultimate thing that's going to change the heart of man is Jesus Christ. And so we have to take these opportunities. The reason people need Jesus is because they're lost. They're living in brokenness. They need hope. They need change. And we have the answer. It's Jesus. He can change the hardest of hearts. He can lift people up out of their brokenness. He will heal and forgive the sinner. Jesus understood why people needed him. And so should we. Our hearts should break over the moral decline of our culture. We should weep for our country when Romans 1 is literally becoming true right before our very eyes. And if you don't believe me, go back and read Romans 1 today or sometime this week, and you'll see that this reality is coming true right before our eyes. It's becoming more and more true. People need Jesus, and he expects us to share this life-changing message with people who need to hear. So he's like, okay, well, what do I do? Well, here's some things that you can do, all right? Here's some practical things that you can do. First of all, you can engage in focused prayer, okay? Commit daily to pray for people by name. Perhaps the Lord has brought to your mind, to your heart, in three circles we talked about this, praying for our far-from-God people, okay? Who is the Lord placed upon your heart that is broken and need Jesus? Pray for them by name every day. Commit to do that, okay? Pray for more harvesters. What does that mean? Remember what Jesus said? When he saw the fields, and he said, the Bible says that Jesus saw the crowds and they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then what did he say? Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out harvesters into his field. That means, because the fields are out there, the harvest is ready to be reaped, we got to have more people to do it. That means more people in our church, like-minded people like us who have the mentality to share the gospel and to be sent out, and then more harvesters around the world. And so pray for more harvesters, that God would raise them up, that God would raise us up to be the harvesters that he wants us to be. So engage in focused prayer. Another thing we need to do is learn to share the gospel. Learn to share the gospel. We can do that by, go ahead and go to the next one there, Alex. If I have, there we go. Learn to share the gospel. So we've got a lot of different things that we can do. Three circles, of which a lot of us have gone through that together here at church on Wednesday nights. It's a tool, a way to share the gospel. It's a way to get into have everyday conversations turn into gospel conversations. So hopefully, as you've learned that, you're using those things, okay? That's not just something we learned and just kind of park it back here and never use it again. No, use that in everyday life. So learn to share the gospel. Learn to give your personal testimony. Learn the parables and other stories of hope that can point people to Jesus. Like we talked about last week and the week before, God has already given us stories in the Bible that we can share with others, stories of hope. People like you and me or others that we encounter who need Jesus, who are in desperate situations, and we can tell them stories like Nicodemus or the bleeding woman that we talked about last week. We can share these stories with them as a way to point them to Jesus. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to think of another way to do it. The stories are right here with us. And we can share these stories with others. So learn to share the gospel. And then finally, another thing we can do is look for open door opportunities. As you're at work or school or maybe in your own family, are people asking spiritual questions? Are people talking about brokenness? Ask them for permission to share the hope that lives inside of you. Pay attention to what's going on around you. You know, remember years ago, Henry Blackaby had the Experiencing God curriculum that many of us probably have gone through. We've read the books and all this stuff. But what was the main theme of his study or his stuff that he wrote? It was observe where God is at work and go there, right? Look where God is at working and go there. So where is it God at work in your life? Where is it work at work in people's lives or whatever? Go be a part of it. Okay? Because people need to hear. Sharing the gospel, guys, is hard work. We need to be patient and we need to let God work. And I don't know about you, but listen, and you probably have recognized it in the things that I've been preaching about recently, but listen, the Lord has been working in my heart and giving me a burden like never before to win souls to the Lord. And this conference that I went to this past week just reinforced some of these things. So we need to be ready. We must take responsibility for our neighborhoods and our communities and the people that we work with. I know every one of us here, if I was to go up to you and say, hey, do you want people to come to know Christ? Every one of you'd say yes. Because we do. We genuinely want people to come to know Christ. But guess what? God is calling on you and me to be a part of that. We're his voice. We're the body of Christ, right? We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the voice, the mouthpiece of Jesus. And so we've got to be actively involved, and it's scary, and kingdom work is hard, and people are going to shut us down and make fun of us, and they're going to ask us questions we don't know the answer to. That's okay. You know what? We can tell people, I don't know the answer to that question. Instead of trying to think up something to look smart, we just end up looking more dumb than we already are. Just say, I don't know the answer. But here's what I do know. I was this way, and Jesus came in my heart, and he radically changed me, and now I'm this way. That's all I can explain to you. Just share what's happened to you personally. So look for open door opportunities. The third thing I want to mention this morning, number three, as we look at the life of Zacchaeus, the gospel changed the heart of Zacchaeus. This tax collector was considered a traitor by his own people. So there's no way that they would have considered him to be the child, the son of Abraham. That's what Jesus called him. Yet Zacchaeus' heart was forever changed. And so what Jesus was trying to convey there, he proved himself not only to be a son of Abraham in the sense of a Jew looking for the kingdom, but also he became a son of Abraham in the truest sense of the word because he had experienced salvation in his heart. That's what truly made him a follower of Christ. Salvation came to him not because of good deeds, which he did. We're going to talk about that. But because he truly believed in Jesus and he set aside anything that might get in the way of obeying him. That's what a true encounter with Jesus does. It changes the heart of sinful people. And Zacchaeus' life was radically changed that day. His encounter with Jesus changed his heart, but it's also changed his behavior, right? This inward change. He demonstrated an inward change by an outward action. Now listen, this is something you may not know, and something that I didn't know until I really looked into it. Under the Mosaic law, if a thief voluntarily confessed his crime, he had to restore what he took and add 1/5 to it, and then bring an offering to the Lord. So under the law, if you were a thief and you owned up to the fact that you were a thief, you had to restore that and add 1/5 to it and then offer an offering to the Lord. If you stole something and you couldn't restore it, you had to repay 4-fold. And if he was caught with the goods, you had to repay double. Now, why does any of that matter? I want you to look carefully. Zacchaeus didn't argue over the terms of the law. What did he do? He offered to pay the highest price that was out there because his heart had truly been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. The change in his heart inwardly affected his outward actions. He's essentially saying, I'm the worst sinner ever, so you know what? I'm going to pay back the full amount, not only the full amount, but the biggest amount out there. 1/4. See, that's what Jesus does to hearts who are changed by him. That's what Jesus does in the life of anyone who comes to know Christ. The gospel changed the heart of Zacchaeus. His outward behavior was changed by an inward transformation that happened in his life. As we kind of come to an end here, do you know what the word Zacchaeus means? You know, all these guys had these Jewish names and their names meant something specifically. The name Zacchaeus means righteous one. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Righteous one. Now, he certainly wasn't righteous before he met Jesus, but he sought Jesus out and his heart was changed forever by Jesus. A genuine encounter with Jesus changes who we are. Makes us a new creation, like Jesus said, right? Let me ask you a question. Who do you know that needs an encounter with Jesus? Who do you know that needs an encounter with Jesus? We're talking about people encountering Jesus. Who do you know that needs an encounter with Jesus? Are you willing to go tell them? Are you willing to be used by God to go tell them? Do we care enough about the lostness around us to do something about it? Guys, listen. We will always find time and money for what's important to us. Right? We will always find enough time and enough money for what's really important to us. What's more important than kingdom work? I'm not saying we can't have nice things in life. I'm not saying we can't do things outside of church. But your life, what is most defined? How is your life most defined? Is it by the kingdom or by the world? Zacchaeus was a seeker. However, Jesus found him. Has he found you? Are you part of his family? Are you part of the family of God? Do you need to trust in him? Maybe you're like Zacchaeus. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm involved in right now. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what my past is. No, I don't. And I don't really need to know. But God knows, and I'm just here to tell you, I don't care what you've done in life. I don't care what your worst day ever was, thinking about your worst day ever, whatever that was, or whatever that day was, whatever you did. I don't care what that thing is. Jesus can completely heal and forgive, and he wants to, if you'll come to him humbly. Aren't you tired of living that life? Aren't you tired of being broken inside? Come to Jesus. I'm not saying your life will work out perfectly. I'm not saying that you won't experience disappointment and loss in your life, because you still will. But I'm here to tell you, when Jesus fills that void in your life, somehow, some way, I can't explain how he does it, but he does. He helps us to get through even the most difficult of times, and we have peace. That's why Jesus said, I came to bring peace. Not peace between individuals, but peace in our heart. And it's a peace that we cannot understand. And he wants to give you that change today. And so I would ask you to cry out to him. Put your faith and trust in him. In just a minute, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. And it's an opportunity for you to get right with the Lord, whether it's to commit to praying for somebody or to talk to them about Jesus, or maybe it's that you need to give your heart to Jesus this morning. I would encourage you to do that as we sing this song. But if there's any other decision you need to make, to be baptized, to become a member of our church, to surrender to ministry or missions, we want to hear about it. We want to help you get to that next point in your life, the next step in your life spiritually. So we would ask you to let us know what decision you need to make so that we can follow up with you and help you get to that next point in your life. You can fill out a Connect card there in the back of the seat. You can go online and click the Connect link and connect with us that way. But let us know what's going on so that we can help you get to that next point in your life spiritually, okay? Let me lead us in prayer, then we'll sing and let God do his thing. Father, we thank you today for what we've learned in Scripture about this story of Zacchaeus, this familiar story that we revisited this morning. Lord, it's a reminder that people are still seeking for Jesus. It's a reminder that we still live in a broken world where people need a heart change. It's a reminder that Jesus sought this man out and offered to go to his house. And somewhere in the midst of this discussion, Zacchaeus' life was radically changed by the power of the gospel. That shows us that you are still in the business of saving people. Lord, put that burden on our hearts. Put that desire in our lives. Open our eyes to the needs around us. Let us take time to speak with people and get to know people and tell them about the man who's made a difference in our lives. Father, we just ask you right now to have your way in us. Whatever that looks like, whatever you need to do, Lord, we open ourselves up to you right now. Have your way in us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.